Well, in future years, when high school students have the quiz in history and it says, when did the Iraqi war end?
Yeah, no one will know the answer.
They won't. Although the answer will be August 31st, 2010, the official end of combat operations. That's right. If it's a picky history teacher, there will be an asterisk for sure. We talked earlier with Noah Feldman, former senior advisor to the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. He says our future role in that country could be similar to the role we've played in South Korea. And remember, in South Korea, that war is still officially going on, and we still have 30,000 troops there almost 60 years after our operations ended. Joining us to get the view from Iraq, we're joined from Baghdad by Dr. Ziad Al-Hassani. He's a medical doctor there. Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, let me ask you about your situation in Baghdad. How is the reliability of the utilities, the lights, the water? What's daily life like for you there?
Well, life in Baghdad or in all of Iraq is still very, very difficult because of the shortage in electricity, shortage in water, because of the somewhat deterioration in the security position. There's a lot of difficulties still till now.
So, whose responsibility is it to address those difficulties? Is it the remaining U.S. troops? Is it the government you don't have in Iraq? Is it some other force, the United Nations? So who do you go to? Where's City Hall there in Baghdad?
As in medicine, many of diseases, we say that they are multifactorial. They are originating from multifactorial problems. I think all what you mentioned are responsible for this deterioration or difficulties in the life in Iraq. Maybe the untrained, unwell-trained persons who are managing the function or the services in Iraq are still untrained for the good extent. The military or the armed operations are also responsible for this. I think that the role of the U.S. Army or the coalition armies in Iraq wasn't very faithful in training people or in settling down the real life in Iraq. Till now, all the operations were on the military side. Services are very, very little.
Well, let me ask you, Dr. Al-Hassani, you know, although today is an official date, August 31st is the official end of combat operations, there's still going to be 50,000 troops in Iraq. That's a very sizable force. There's no real knowing when the American troops will completely leave, if ever. And I'm wondering what it means to you as an Iraqi to have this continuing U.S. presence there. And if it's there for a very long period of time, does that change the country's national identity?
Yes, I can imagine that the situation as follows. When the military troops come to Iraq, it was something like someone who take a medicine. Usually a medicine is useful, but at the same time, it is bitter. It's bitter taste. For the occupation of Iraq was of benefit, but on the other side, it was bitter for the people, bitter for many of the mistakes that done in Iraq. Now, the days that the U.S. troops come out of Iraq, I think it is like labor, and labor also, I suppose it will be associated with pain, maybe with blood. If we suppose that the security situation will deteriorate after this way of leaving Iraq. However, this labor may be premature. I think it's premature labor, which will leave the fetus or leave the baby or the Iraqi baby as a country, leave it who need a lot of resuscitation. He still needs resuscitation.
No, I got it. I mean, that's a chilling metaphor. Yeah. Childbirth as the metaphor for the withdrawal, followed by a very, very shaky situation for the remaining, Iraqi fetus, as you call it. You know, what if, Dr. Hassani, the message from the United States is, hey, all along we wanted to basically occupy a nation in the Middle East and be close in the Arab world to the oil resources there. And basically what you're looking at here, we've got an analyst here in the United States who are comparing the withdrawal to what happened in Korea, which was a 60-year and counting involvement in that country. We're looking at basically an open-ended occupation of the Arab world in Iraq. Is that how you and your neighbors view this?
I think there's two views toward the Iraqi, toward the U.S. Occupation of Iraq. One of them is something like to change the political situation in Iraq, to remove Saddam Hussein, and for some resources in Iraq. The other view really is somewhat, let us say, religious, that there is a religious war against the Muslims in Iraq. These are the two pictures or the two mind pictures present in Iraq around us. Yes.
Well, Dr. Al-Hassani, your government, which is still not a government at this point, we've spoken to other Iraqis who've said, instead of the American combat troops, the most important thing on their mind right now is the fact that a government has not been formed. And I'm wondering what needs to give. Is there any American involvement that can help kickstart that? Is this the kind of thing in this premature birth where the Americans need to step back and let this happen? In which case, what needs to happen? What needs to be kickstarted to help the government get going?
Yes, since we are agree about the imagination that the position in Iraq is like a labor, you know that the pregnancy is a limited time. It is 9 months. For Iraq, because we are speaking about premature labor and premature removal of the troops from Iraq, we suppose that there is still a training role that can be played by the American troops to train the security forces in Iraq to settle a real political change. I think that there is no real political change that done by this war, but what is done is changing faces only. The same mind that need one person to manage all the Iraqi people is still fine till now, because America didn't till now treat this mindset. I think this is a problem.
Okay, Dr. Ziad Al-Hassani, a medical doctor in Baghdad. Thank you so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.